You're listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. You can find notes for this message along with more information about our church by visiting church2911.com. Here's our lead pastor, Rick Hand, with this week's message.
So let me ask you, you young ladies, you ever been walking around school and, you know, and you look at some other young lady in school, you know, and they just have it all together? You know, and you just want to go right up to them. You want to ask this question, this next question on this next slide, right? You want to say, why do you get to be so pretty? You ever want to ask that question? Or maybe, guys, you ever look at another guy, maybe you know, you're a little vertically challenged, you know, and so you see a guy and you want to just go up and say, why do you get to be so tall? You know, or back to school, you know, that situation, maybe, there's somebody that... You know they don't study, but they make better grades than you. And you just want to say, why do you get to be smart? And I have to struggle like this. Or some of us, you know, we just want to ask, why do you get to have hair? You know? And, you know, man, we struggle with some of those things. But really, is that really the struggle? No, that's not what we're talking about. You know, that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about grief. Okay? Because there are a lot of people in this world that want to ask you, why did you get to be brought up in a loving home where your parents gave you time? They saw you as important. They realized that you were somebody worth pouring into. Why did you get all of the advantages of life that I can only dream about and wish for and hope? Why did you get that? There are people all over this world today that would look at every one of you and ask, why did you get to be born in the United States? People would ask that. All over this world today, why do you get to be born in the U.S.? And some people, I guess all across the world in hospitals, but even right here in this room, there'll be some that would look at some of you and say, why do you get to be healthy and I don't get to be? See, we ask these questions, and sometimes life isn't fair, is it? It isn't fair. But you know what? If you really look at it and you think about all these other things that are going on in the world, most of the time, not all the time, I understand, not all the time, but most of the time, never forget that. We are on the blessed end of the spectrum, and we need to never forget that. We're going to have moments of grief. We're going to have moments of heartache. We're going to have moments of trouble. We're going to have battles. We're going to have struggles, but we need to never forget that there are people out there that are asking, why do we have it so good? In the middle of our grieving, in the middle of our problems. So never, ever forget that. Now listen, I don't want to give you a pat answer, but I'm going to give you the quick answer real quick about why there are bad things happening in God's world, okay? Next slide. Yeah. The quick answer to bad things happening in this world is original sin. But that's also the correct answer. Okay, so let me set this up. You know, when God created the earth, Genesis chapter 1, right? Do you remember what he said every time he created something? He said, it is good. It is. Now think about this. That's not it is good based on my, you know, we sometimes talk that's good enough, right? You know, around here sometimes we build, I love the fact that we didn't do chandeliers and sheetrock in this room, you know, because, I mean, you know, we got, and it's good enough and it's great and we keep working on it. But you know what? It's not up to my standards. It was up to God's standards, and he said it's good. Okay, that's a lot higher than anybody's standards in this room. He said it is good. But do you think God says that about our world today? Something's happened. I mean, it's not good like it was good, not to his standards. So what happened? Well, there's something that happened when God created man. He created Adam, he created Eve. And there's something he told them. He said, I want you to be fruitful, multiply, replenish, fill the earth back up, right? That was a directive that he gave them, a command that he gave them. He didn't give it to anybody else. I know in this part of the country, this part of the world, we think that God maybe have also told all the gnats in the world that they're supposed to replenish and fill the earth, right? But that's not what he told them to do. That's what he told us to do. And in that same verse, he said, and have dominion over every living thing on this earth. We're to have dominion. So God has set us, we're supposed to have dominion over these things, even over the gnats. And maybe even, and then what did Adam and Eve do? Have dominion over, right? But sometimes it doesn't look like it's that way, but he gave us that. And then what did Adam and Eve do? And they took those keys that God gave them, or however you want to say it, the deed or whatever, and they handed them right over to Satan. And ever since then, that's what we call original sin. Ever since then, We've had sin. We've had temptations. We've had things die. Things weren't dying before the original sin. All of these things, sickness has come to the earth, pain and sorrow, suffering, all those things have come to the earth. So that's the easy answer. It's a quick answer, but it's also the correct answer. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. And we look around, and we say, yep, I see it there, and I see it there, and I see it there. Now, the thing about this, though, because especially when you get in those moments where you think, well, where's God? Why is God not doing this and all that thing, all those other things? We think about this, is if the whole world lies in wickedness, how is there any good in the world? I mean, if God were asleep, like some people think, or if he were off on vacation, like others think, or if he wasn't paying attention to us, there would be no good at all in this world. It is only because God is actually a present God, and he is still working, that we have any good in this world. And we're promised, and we have this good. So don't lose that, and don't forget about that. And this is the reason that Jesus, in the middle of this prayer that he teaches the disciples, and that we still have today, we call the Lord's Prayer, this is why he encourages us to do this. It's the next scripture for us is Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's why he tells us to pray this prayer, so to be delivered from the evil one, because he's out there and lying in wickedness. So are we praying that prayer? I mean, sometimes, and I'm not talking to you guys maybe at this point that are grieving over something that is no one's fault or whatever, but sometimes, you know, maybe we're dealing with some wickedness because we haven't been praying the prayer, God, deliver us from the wickedness that is in this world. And he challenged us to do this. Now, I look at the world and I say, okay, that helps me a lot. It helps me deal with a whole lot of stuff. I look at the world and I think of that. I say, yep, that's why this is happening. That's why people are so, you know, so rebellious against God and all this, because we're lying in weakness. It's the original, lying in wickedness. It's the original sin. It's all of those things. And so that helps me deal with all that stuff going on out there. But when it comes to my personal stuff, that still don't cut it. Some of you probably thinking that right now. You know, the thing I'm dealing with, Pastor, that doesn't help me, because that sin isn't mine. I mean, I'm talking about my marriage, Pastor. I'm not talking about somebody else's marriage out there. I'm talking about my children, Pastor. I'm not talking about somebody out there and what's going on. I'm talking about my why is mine. That's just not enough answer for me. And so we get to that place that sometimes we ask the question, where is God? Where is God? April 22nd, 2000. And seven. Anybody know where they were? April 22nd, 2007. I know for some of you that's prehistoric times, right? I mean, you weren't even born yet. So that's prehistoric. But can I ask, how many of you were alive and you were adults in 2007? Raise your hand. Okay? So quite a few of you, right? But you can't remember April 22nd, 2007. I was scheduled to preach. We were serving. We were not serving as pastors at this time. I was state director of First Priority. That's the early morning Bible clubs at high schools and middle schools, and that's going to be important in a moment in this little story I want to share with you, and this little point right here. But I was serving in that way. So I would preach sometimes at different churches. I didn't have a church that I preached every Sunday. I was scheduled to preach April 22nd, 2007 at Christway Church in Gardendale. And I was excited about it because at this point, that was my home church, and that's where I was attending because I wasn't a pastor somewhere, and so I was there, and I was helping him, so I got a chance to preach. And so what am I going to preach about? Monday of that week, anybody remember what happened? No, I know you don't, right? April 16th, 2007, still doesn't ring a bell, does it? And kills 32 people. Now, Virginia Tech University, somebody goes berserk and kills 32 people. And injures 23 more. And several of those who were injured didn't get injured from the attack, but by jumping out of windows and got injured to get away from the attack. Now, how many of y'all remember that? You remember some of that now? That sounds familiar, right? We forgot what that was. We forgot about it until, I mean, how long has it been since you even thought about that? Really? We don't think about it. Why? Because that happened in somebody else's life. It was bad for how long? A day? A week? Maybe a month for some of you? But we don't think about those things that long or whatever. So, you know, and so it's easy, if we're not careful, it's easy for us to say, well, that's somebody else's problem, and we have all the answers. I had the answers that week, because you know what my sermon title was going to be for that Sunday? Where is God? Man, I was set. God set me up. Perfect timing. I'm not saying God calls that to happen, but it feels like, you know, God just put it all together that I would have the sermon. I've got the answer for them. Man, I kind of, you know, inside just throwing my shoulders back like I am ready to preach this message. Everything, you know, I've got the answer. Everybody's asking, where's God? There were articles written that week online. You saw articles and newspaper clippings where people were asking that question, where is God or where was God? And I'm thinking, man, this is just perfect timing. And then something else happened between the Monday disaster in Virginia Tech and that Sunday that I was supposed to preach at Christway. During that time, as I said, I was serving at First Priority. And my daughter, she had been married less than 2 years, and she was living on the outskirts of Huntsville, and they didn't have anybody really close to them. Her husband, Bradley, his family, lived 20 to 30 minutes away. Nobody was right there, and he had to be in Atlanta overnight for some work stuff that was going on with his job. And so, you know, I said, hey, I'll come spend the night with you so you won't be alone, because she didn't really know her neighbors real well. She didn't have anybody she could just call. And so she was kind of afraid to be there by herself. So no problem, I can do that. And I'll get up the next morning, and I'll go to a Huntsville high school and be a part of their First Priority Club that morning. You know, it's the kind of thing that I would do. And so I said, something wasn't right. Went up and spent the night with her, but the next morning, something was wrong. Something wasn't right with Kristen. And she came and she asked me if I would take her to the doctor. We prayed. And then on the way to the doctor, I prayed. And I prayed so much. But I tried to pray without her knowing I was praying. Because if she knew how scared I was, I didn't know how scared she was going to be. And so I tried to pray without her knowing. She knew I was praying, but I tried not to make too big a deal out of it. We get to the parking deck. We park the car, go into the adjoining building where the doctor's office is. We go into the waiting room, and the waiting room is probably not as big as this stage. And it's full, and it's loud. There are people there. There are ladies in there. There are old ladies there, young ladies. There are a few guys in there. There's even kids in there. So it is a loud place, and they take Kristen back pretty quick. They take her back, and as soon as they take her back, it's like, okay, now I'm alone. I know it's full, the room is full, but I'm kind of in my space. Nobody's paying attention to me. And so I get back to some serious prayer now. And I'm praying, and I'm asking God. I didn't want her to know, but I'm asking God. And then when the door opens and Kristen comes back into the waiting room from the observation and the examination room, she didn't have to say a word. She didn't have to nod her head or shake her head. Just by the look on her face, I saw that she had had a miscarriage. And my first grandchild was no longer alive with us. Her first child was no longer alive. I stood up immediately. I went to her. I put an arm around her, but I couldn't do what I wanted to. Because you know what I wanted to do? If you grieve, you understand what I'm going to say here. I want to tell all those people in that room, shut up. Quit laughing about your situation. Quit showing the pictures. Quit talking about your baby shower that's coming up. Quit entertaining your mother-in-law with all the things that you're planning to do with your child. Wanted to do and say, to grieve here, can y'all all just step out in the hallway and let us have some pride? That's what I wanted to do and say. And if you grieve, you've been there before. Well, you're grieving, and you wonder, why doesn't everybody else see what I'm going through? And they don't. And man, that was the longest walk. That was a lot longer walk back to my car than it was from the car to the doctor. As soon as we got back, we sat in the car, and we just cried. And I grieved. I'd never met my first grandchild that was going to be named Micah. I never felt him kick. I never saw his face. I never met him. So I was there grieving for him, but I was grieving for my daughter because of what she was struggling with. And she had to call her husband. She had to tell Bradley and he was hours away. And she had to tell family members. She had to go back the next day. And I don't want to get graphic, but it was horrible what you go through with a miscarriage. And when, you know, and just having sometimes to carry a lifeless baby for a few more hours or days sometimes. And it was horrible. I didn't know how to grieve. I didn't know what to do with this except just cry and be with her. And you know where we go with this? How do you deal with this? That's your question, right? You know, Pastor, I'm telling you, I'm asking the question, how do you deal with that? Well, I want to take a little bit of a left turn, and we're going to kind of come back to that just a little bit, but here's the way a lot of us deal with it, is we want someone or something to blame, right? And even Jesus' disciples in John chapter 9, verse 1, they see this man that was born blind. And so in verse 2, his disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I can just see him, you know, I wonder why that happened. You know, he said, because if Jesus had told them who sinned and why this man was blind, you know, sometimes, okay, and going on with their day, right? You know, if we had somebody to sin, but, you know, sometimes there's not someone that sinned and caused that. There's not a heroin-addicted mom that when the baby was in the womb, you know, and that's why the baby is the way the baby is. Sometimes it's not because there was a drunk driver on the road, or sometimes it's not because there was some crime that was committed and we all got hurt from that. Sometimes there is no answer. So you know what we do? We got to find somebody to blame. And so we look to God. After all, he's God, right? He understands everything. He knows everything. He sees everything. And he's all powerful. So he could have changed things. He could have made a different plan. He could have turned everything around. He could have made something different, and he didn't. So where is God? In Ellicott's commentary, it's an old commentary, decades old, and he writes about this particular story, John chapter 9, and he says this. He says, it's permitted by God, it is yet overruled by him. Because what happened in the next few verses right after that is Jesus healed this man. He permitted him to be born blind, but that wasn't the end of the story, because he healed him of his blindness. And so here's the thing that we do a lot of times, and I think it's toughest when it involves death in some way, just like with my first grandson, Micah. It's when you deal with that, it's like, but wait a minute, he's dead. God can't fix this because he's dead. That's what you deal with a lot of times. I mean, that's the worst of all grief, because it's over. There's nothing left. But we have to remember, we're children of God who have faith in him beyond the grave. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came, and he hung on the cross, and he died, and he went into the pits of the earth. He went into the grave. I got an old sermon I used to preach. I might have to dust it off and bring it back to you. And the top put an exit door on the tomb. Guess what? Went in the grave, but he put an exit door on the tomb. And because he put an exit door on the tomb, guess what? I'm going to see Micah again. You see, that story is not over. It's not written. Yes, it was permitted by God, but it is yet overruled by him, is because it is not. That's what the world says. I'm going to meet Micah one day. I'm going to see him, because we believe, you know, life begins at conception. And if so, then Micah's there, and he's been waiting on me for about 17 years now. And I can't wait. I can't wait. And you know, it still grieves me to accept this, but that has to be the reality and the fact. Let me hurry right here, because pain and grief, they cause us to do something. I think, is that my next slide? Yeah, grief and pain make us reconcile our feelings about God. Go ahead and give me the next two, because I got to hurry, okay? I have to ask myself this question. Do I only love God because of the good that he does? Or am I frustrated with God for the bad that he allows? I mean, when you get there, I mean, you know, I preached that same message that I was going to preach, but it had a totally different tone. Because that week I had to grapple with what I thought was the quick answer for everybody ought to hear this and everybody will be fine about all the stuff in the world. And I had to grapple with these questions right here, and remember, wait a minute, my confidence is all in him. My faith is not tied to what other people say about God. My faith is not tied to my circumstances in this life. My feelings about God are not tied to the idiots in my family and their feelings that they have, and the way, you know, their narcissistic ways. That's not what my faith is about. All those things are not supposed to be able to shake my faith. And we have to, in pain and grief, we have to reconcile. What are your feelings about God? If you're grieving today, first I want to challenge you. What are your feelings about God? Because if you really believe that he is who he says he is, the story is not finished yet. Even if it has ended in death, it is not ended. It is not over. there is going to be this day that I hold my, I don't know if he'll be a set, I'm going to meet old baby when I see him, or 17-year-old teenager. I don't know, but I'm going to meet my first grandchild one of these days. Listen, here's something also that helps me. It's something that right after 9/11, Queen Elizabeth said. She said, grief is the price we pay for love. Boy, that helps me. You know, if I just didn't love Micah, if I just wouldn't love him, I wouldn't be grieved. If I just don't love my daughter, I wouldn't be grieved. You know, and I think sometimes she's the only one that really thinks about Micah, you know. And so I know she grieves. And the only way I can not grieve with her is to not love her. So if you don't want to grieve, then you know, sell all your stuff, move somewhere on a deserted island. Don't connect with anybody. Become a hermit. Ostracize yourself from society, because if you connect with anybody, at some point, you are going to grieve. This helps me. And here's the way it helps me. And I don't know if you can hear this. If you're grieving today, I don't know if you can hear this, but I hope you can. Bad is going to happen in this world. Pain is going to happen in this world. Suffering is going to happen in this world. Trouble is going to happen in this world. And I don't stop that by being a part of that. But that was going to happen. And God could have put all that trouble in somebody else's life, but he put it in my life, as if entrusting me to help all the people connected deal with their grief too. Think about that. As I was there for Micah, even though I didn't know him, but I was also there for Kristen to help her. I know she wishes Bradley had been there. I know Bradley wishes he had been there, but I am so thankful I was. Man, I was so thankful for the moment that I got to be there, and I got to be the first one to grieve with his mother for him. But I got to grieve with her too. So I don't know if you can hear that or not, but I hope you will understand God had a lot of confidence in you if he put someone in your life that was going to die or was going to struggle, and you were going to have to grieve with them. And God had you there, and I thank God for that. It's tough to hear sometimes, but let's look at this final last scripture. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of, look, compassion, and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we receive, ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Where is God? Let me tell you where God was on the day that Micah left this earth. God was in me. He was in me to be there with him and my daughter. He was in me. And no doubt, when you grieved, especially if you're a child of God, no doubt, God was right there. He was just in somebody's life around you.
Thanks for listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. If you have a need, we would love to pray with you. You can connect with our prayer team by emailing prayer@church2911.com or by texting 205-476-2911. You can learn more about our church by visiting us online at church2911.com and by connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram at church2911. We hope this message has encouraged you and reminded you that God loves you and has an amazing dream for your life. As always, we dare you to dream.